See a lot of new faces today. I count one. Who's new here? Who hasn't been to Midtown before? Put your hands up. Everybody say hi. Hello. We're, if you haven't noticed, we're very much a family church. There's probably a couple babies short of what we normally have, but kids ministry here, it's pretty vibrant just because, you know, when we started this church, it was a bunch of young married couples that were just starting to have babies. And then they all started having babies. And so from there, you know, things started blossoming. And, yeah, we're very much a church where we believe in, you know, giving everybody opportunities. So a lot of people here on our leadership team will end up preaching. You know, unlike some other churches, not saying it's right, but unlike other churches, you know, our goal is if I can raise somebody else up to do my job, that's the best thing to do. So part of, you know, going to Calgary, there's some fear for some people where, oh, you know, Mike's not going to be here. He's the finance guy. The hat that I carry, I run the finances for our entire ministry. And what I said was, well, you know, don't we want to raise up other people? I've got an accounting manager who's beside me. I'm like, we need to get him to step up to be at that point. And, you know, I can just oversee him. He can do it. And they're like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, isn't that what we're supposed to do? I'm like, let's go out and let's do more. Let's go help plant the church. And so things kind of blossomed and grew. But yeah, that's kind of our vision. You know, we have cells. We do encounters. We do all that kind of crazy stuff. Quick little story. If you ever go to an encounter or a re-encounter and, you know, God kind of touches you and starts doing things and saying things to you, be careful what you say back to God, because usually whenever you say, okay, God, go ahead, do this or do that, he says, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. He goes and does it. They're a great time, though. It's about getting cleaned up, going through a lot of things. Our time in Toronto has been about, when did we move here, dear? 2005, I think. Was it 2005 we moved? Yeah, about 6 years. When we came to Toronto, we didn't know how long our season was going to be. We actually made a decision very quickly in the last month and a half that, you know, we felt like we were called to Calgary for various reasons. And for some, it's been a bit of a shock. And last week when we made the announcement, there was a few people quietly going, boo. Even Sandra. She's booed like 4 or 5 times, but, you know, she's amazing. Love you, Sandra. But, you know, part of this whole process for us in moving has been a real, real step of faith. And today, you know, I was debating what I was going to talk about, and, you know, it's a pretty somber day for some, right? September 11th, 10 years ago, the world changed. It was kind of ironic. We went through McDonald's drive-thru this morning, ordered breakfast. They offered us a newspaper, hand us a newspaper, and I start looking at it, and it says, it's 8:46 a.m., September 11th, 2011. And I look at my clock, it's 8:46. I'm like, ooh. You know, and so I grab the paper, and I start reading it, and I'm looking at the cover, and the caption is, or 2001, Flight 11 slams into the North Tower. Wars will be waged across oceans for the next decade. It's 8:46 a.m. on September 11th, 2011. Feet up, coffee in hand, you are reading this paper. What changed exactly? Right. What's changed? I could, you know, we could take a poll, we could ask. It's a lot more difficult to travel. Right? I'm on a flight tonight to Halifax for some stuff, and I know that, I bet you anything, today's probably going to be the tightest screening I've ever had, just because it's September 11th. You know, I'm taking a bag that's got a bunch of electronics and stuff in it. Going to ship it underneath. We'll see if it comes out on the other end. Who knows? You know, it's just one of those days. I got a text from a guy that I'm working with that's going to be in Halifax with us, and he said, I'm flying into New York right now. He says, this is the most empty plane I've ever seen. You know, what's changed? It's how we think of things, our mindsets, but I'm just reminded when I read that caption, I was going, you know, what has changed? Are we trusting in God or are we trusting in man? 2001, what happened? We started this war on terror, and we started going after, you know, things that were changing our way of life. But really, what should we have done? We should have just trusted in God in the first place, right? We should have just let him take care of things. We should have made him the center of everything we did. In some ways, you know, we hear about some of the stuff that was happening then, and, you know, yes, you know, we know it was a terrorist attack. There's conspiracy theories out there. But, you know, the word coming from overseas was that this was an attack on our way of life. But what's the North American way of life? It's anything and everything to everyone, right? We haven't really standed for one thing other than, you know, you have the right to do what you want, free market, all that kind of stuff. And some others said, you know, we don't believe in this. We believe in our own God, and this is right, and this is wrong. You know, if God was a part of everything we did, Today's not supposed to be about September 11th in this sermon, but if God was a part of everything we did, every decision we made, don't you think everything we did would have God's hand on it? Don't you think decisions would be easier? I don't know about you guys. I really like the Old Testament. I've always been a history buff. Trevor's like, yeah! I've always been a history buff. I like reading. Some stuff in the Old Testament I'll read, and I'll be like, yeah, you know, okay. I'm not interested in who begat who. Because you know what? High school biology, memorized everything past, asked me anything after, wouldn't remember a thing. I'm a math guy. I'm a numbers guy. I figure out how to do it. But as I was debating what to preach about, you know, I was reminded of different trials that have not only been going on for Gwen and I, but, you know, some of our pastors, our church, all through the summer was just a very trying summer. And I remember an email from one pastor who said, you know, it's really hard to trust in God right now to come through, you know, when there was some money issues and there was an expense report that needed to be paid fairly quickly. And, you know, there's just miscommunication on things getting out. But they were in such a tight bind that, you know, if that check didn't come, they might have had to stop some plans for something else where they were going to go with their family. And it was, you know, they were being tried and tested. And it just opened my eyes to, like, you know what? So many of us, you know, we're trusting in us, and we're not just really always trusting in God and what he's going to do and what he's going to make happen. And, you know, it's hard, right? It's very hard. I know for me, there's been times where, you know, I've stepped out in faith, and it's scary. You know, right now, this move for us is scary. There's different pastors. You know, you feel like you're not called to things. We have 10 campuses, and every time a new campus gets birthed, the common feeling from the new pastor is, can I do this? Am I capable? Well, of course you can, because if God's hand is on things and he's anointed you to be a pastor, you're going to be the best pastor you can be. You know, Trevor is an amazing teacher. He wouldn't be in teaching if God hadn't anointed him to be a teacher. He might be scared of the first day back at school, but, you know, I wouldn't be scared of that. The only thing I'd be scared about is who's going to try and kick him in the ankles. If you don't know me by now, you know I try to put humor into my sermons. But today we're gonna talk mostly about the book of Judges, so Judges 1 and 2. It's really about trusting in the Lord and fighting his battles, not your own battles. If we go back to the early days of Moses, what do we know about Moses' time? That whole generation that grew up under him didn't really trust. They didn't really trust in the Lord fully. You know, they didn't get to taste in the promised land, didn't get to enjoy it. For 40 years, they wandered the desert. What happened? They weren't faithful in their relationships. Made idols, started worshiping idols instead of worshiping the Lord, gave in to fear of man. What did they do? They sent out some spies to go and see what things were like in the promised land. And they saw that things were, as they said, exceedingly good. You know, if I saw things were exceedingly good, I'd be like, yes, let's go right now. But guess what happened? Anybody remember what happened? Alicia? There we go. They saw the giants and they got scared. They didn't trust in the Lord. Caleb and Joshua, now in Joshua's time, they tried to convince people to trust the Lord and encourage him. If you go to Numbers 14, 8, and 9, it talks about how if the Lord is pleased with us, so this is Numbers chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. What happened after that? Who wants to read verse 10? Interactive Sunday. Yay! Here we go. Trevor's going to pull out verse 10. Numbers 14, verse 10.
But the whole assembly talked about stoning them.
Ha ha! Is that faith and trust in the Lord? Not at all. Let's stone these guys because they got crazy ideas. What are you guys talking about? So in verse 20, the Lord responds. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as they live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, Not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Right? Trust in the Lord, things are going to happen. When you don't trust in him, they just don't. Generations who literally saw so many miracles happen gave up their callings. You know, these people wandered in the desert for 40 years. And, you know, when we read and, you know, we see the different movies showing those times, it was like, hello, easy way out. And they just wandered and wandered and wandered. Joshua's generation, guess what they got to do? Eat great food, see crazy miracles, and just learn to trust in the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 9 talks about, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, the book of Judges really leaves off where Joshua just passed away. Land was, you know, just prior to that, land was supposed to be allotted to different tribes, and that land hadn't been taken over by all the tribes. Okay, so some of them had started to do what they were supposed to, some hadn't. The book starts about with talking about Joshua's death. First 19 verses of chapter 1, you know, we're not going to read through Judges 1 and 2 today, but I just kind of give an overview, and I want to encourage you guys to go home and get into it. First 19 verses, basically the people are asking the Lord stuff, and he answers and tells them how they'd take the lands. Except verse 21, things aren't going so well. He's talking about the Benjamites. The Benjamites, however, did not drive out the Jebusites like they were supposed to, who were living in Jerusalem. Well, guess what? Now they're all sharing the land. God had said one thing was supposed to happen, but they didn't do what they were supposed to. Now they've had some problems. Verses 22 to 26, guess what it talks about? It talks about the house of Joseph having success. Joseph having success. Lord was with them. Did what they were supposed to. Followed through. Go to verse 27 through 33. A ton of bad reports. Really, if you read chapter 1 and you go through it, it's almost a dry read. You know, do this, do that. This person said this to this, and this person said that to that. If you don't like Old Testament, it's going to be a hard read for you. Reality is it's talking about, you know, the Israelis are saying, here's our perspective on why things didn't go well. But really what it should have been about is how they would overcome. You know, if you trust in God, you can overcome anything, right? How many of us are going through trials right now? Things that are testing us. Could be minor. You know, almost every hand is going up here. If you're not going through a trial, who's not going through any trials right now whatsoever? Yeah, see, we're all going through trials. Heart of the issue, though, really is chapter 2. If we go to, let's turn to book 2 in Judges, or chapter 2 in Judges. It's talking about the rebuking of Israel. But verse 1, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you out of Egypt and led you into the land I swore to give to your ancestors. Now here's the important part. This is the Lord talking about how we're supposed to trust in him. He said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? And I have also said, I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will become snares to you. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called that place Bochim. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. See, here's the thing. How many of us have had trials where, you know, we've tried to trust in man, failed miserably, and then cried out to the Lord and be like, I'm so sorry. Probably every single one of us. I had this prophetic word, and it was kind of ironic. And you know what? Last night I'm sitting, and as I was reading through this, I'm going, oh man, now this all makes sense. In my job, as we were debating the move to Calgary, there was a word that was given, and I was kind of confused by it. And one of my people, there was a part where she shared and said, you know, as you're fighting your battles, she says, I see Jesus standing beside you, and you're there with this small shield, and you're like, yeah, I know what to do. because I'm the finance guy, and you can stop things, and you're trying to fix things, and, oh, this shield's not working anymore, and I'd throw it to the side, and I'd pick up the next shield, and I'd keep going with the small shield, and Jesus is like, hello, I'm here, look at me. And I was like, why don't you take my shield? Trust in me. I didn't understand what it meant until last night. I'm going, okay, thank you. You know, trusting in my skills, trusting in what I could do rather than trusting in him. You know, it's funny because, you know, Pastor John, we're very different people. The man is so full of faith, it's amazing. And sometimes, you know, I could never quite understand how we could have these bumps and cycles. We've been known as the giving church, like we'd give our last dollar to somebody if they needed it. But, you know, when you're constantly going like this, it's scary. And as the finance guy, you're going, how am I going to pay people this week? How are we going to cover rent? How are we going to cover a mortgage payment? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And he's going, our God is great. You know, we know it's going to come. It's amazing and it's awesome. And I had a hard time with that because I'd be like, I see the bank balance. I see the numbers. I see reality, right? But some people's faith is just so much bigger than that. You know, don't we all want to be full of faith like that? Really? No? Doesn't sound like it. There we go. Yeah, we do. So why was there failure? Failure wasn't because God wasn't being faithful to anybody, but or that he wasn't powerless to meet their promises. Failure was because he didn't have faith in the Lord. God called each one of those tribes to be set apart, right? He said, here's your land. Here's your peace for you. I'm going to set you apart. Same God who did miraculous things in Egypt, who provided in the desert, who never breaks his promise. I want to challenge people here. If you can go to the Bible and find where God made promises to people that he didn't follow through on, find me one. He's always said, you know, I would do this if you did this. You know, here's the deal. He's never broken a deal. Why would he? You know, he's an awesome God. He just doesn't do that. But he's always given us the choice to follow through, given us the choice to do things. All he asks is that we trust in him. Plain and simple. We need to trust in him, not just for the future. You know, we need to trust in him now for victory against our enemies, victories against our thoughts, our emotions. It was kind of funny. I was praying for Jay today, and you know, I just felt led to pray him because I know he was, usually people can tell when I've got all these burdens, and I was just sensing, you know, there was just some heavy stuff going on, and I hope you don't mind me sharing, Jay, but, you know, it was just, it's funny because people would always pray for me at work, and they'd go, you know, brush that off, you know, that's not your burden to carry, it's not your burden to carry, and I'd be like, no, but, you know, I got to do this, I got the skills, I can fix this, and, you know, we all carry those burdens. You know, in Judges chapter 2, verse 29, the Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Right? That's his only rule, really. Think about it. Well, one of his only rules. Trust him. 3 points I wanted to leave you with. One, trust him by his rules. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm usually a long preacher. Today's not going to be a long sermon. Today's a shorter sermon because I feel that there's going to be some ministry things we're going to deal with. But trust God by his rules. Number two, trust God for his faithfulness. Okay? You want to learn to reflect on who God truly is, what he did through Jesus. You need to ask him to impact you more deeply through your emotions. I've had to do that lately. I've had to say, you know, God, sure, I see the reality of the numbers, but like, give me a passion again for loving church. Like, what's our purpose here? Why are we doing this? Are we just doing this to build churches around and not really help people? Or are we trying to change things? Are we trying to change the world to get people to know about you? When, as I start to feel more and more like, yeah, that's the vision, I feel so much more at ease. It's so much easier to do my job because it's like, it just comes and follows. Ask God to encounter you and be amazed by who he truly is. And his promise to you that you're going to be successful at every battle. I remember the day pretty clearly. It was a cold November day in 2006. Remember the name of that campground, Jay? The one that had all the crazy, the cabins with the spiders and everybody wanted to sleep in their cars? Camp Ganadawe. We used to always use this camp for encounter weekends because the not only Jay hated it, but many other people hated it. The thought was, you know, when we get away from, you know, meeting, say, just in a room for the weekend, when we get out and get away from the distractions, you know, God can do stuff. And I remember sitting there, and one of the leaders, there was only five of us, so there was an encounter, which was kind of your first steps, you know, let's go through some basic healing things and dealing with some issues. And then the re-encounter, which was, okay, you've gone through that, now let's go a bit deeper. And I remember one person saying to me, he's like, do you really think God called you to Toronto to do this, this, and this? No, but you're too afraid. You need to just like give everything up to God and let him do what he wants to. And I was like, I got frustrated. I was angry. I was like, fine, God, whatever. Do what you want. If you want to take me out to the marketplace, if you want to take me out of this job, do whatever you want. 1 week later, my phone rings and it's the church saying, we had a dream. We saw your face. This person's leaving and we really need somebody to come in and take this job. We don't understand why we were flying to India, but we just know it has something to do with you. Can you come and meet with us? And I'm lying in bed, you know, it's Saturday morning, my wife and I are sleeping, and I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll come meet with you. Wife's like, who's that? I'm like, oh, it's so-and-so. And she's like, what? You know, trying to put two and two together, and I'm like, oh, yeah, didn't I tell God to open some doors and do these things? And, you know, next thing you know, a month and a half later, I quit a very stable job, good paying, had moved us to Toronto, paid for my schooling, all these things, and said, no, you know, I feel like the Lord's calling me somewhere else. But to that point, I was so afraid of making the step. You know, and to this day, you know, now I'm understanding why some of these things happened. He's taken me through different seasons and that, but it was a hard choice to make, right? You're coming from a company where people, you know, treated people very well. Literally, they invested in me. They took my wife on as an employee. They did so much for us. And, you know, we battled, you know, we really prayed about it for a good month after the opportunity came up because we're like, you know, is this right? Do we feel like we should be doing this? What are we giving up? Ended up saying, yeah, we're going to go. Gave up a, you know, at the time, that company, they used to pay bonuses, and I was a month away from getting my bonus, gave up a pretty big bonus, just all these things. And it was like, no, I just felt a peace about it. You know what? Since that time, I think Gwen would agree, we've seen that come back tenfold in so many different ways. Just doors that the Lord's opened and just opportunities. It's just, it's interesting because it's like, if I was just to trust in myself, the jobs that I'd try to find, probably wouldn't find them. I'll tell you a short story here, just so you can relate. And I know we've all got our own things, but there was a time where I was going through some struggles with my job, and I was like, ah, should I still be here? Should I be doing this? And I'd see a job posting somewhere, and I'm like, that is so me. And, you know, so I'd pray about it. I'd be like, God, if you want me to have that job, open the doors. If you don't want to, close it. Wouldn't get a call back. Wouldn't even get an email. It was so bad, I wouldn't even get a bounce back from spam saying wrong address. You know, Gwen's had the same things happen. I could tell you so many stories about people who've had the same things happen. As soon as we just trusted in God, you know, the miraculous would just come through. You know, we've seen so many instances in our church where, you know, there's been a need, and whether it's been financially or jobs or whatever, and like checks would show up randomly. People would just like, you know, the Lord told me to give you this. Out of the blue, and like, people would not even know anything to do with the story. It's like, and I'd look at those people and be like, yeah, they were trusting in the Lord. You know, they didn't know. They didn't know how they were going to meet, you know, have ends meet, but you just see these things happen, and you know, it's just amazing. It's amazing to be around people like that. Third point I want you to remember, though, is we need to learn to pick the right fights. Everybody get when I say that? Pick the right fights. Okay? Usually what we do is we get worked up about something and we pick battles that we think are going to be good for us, right? You should see me in my office some days. There's been times where I felt like I was wronged by a vendor or somebody. I was like, oh, you know, no, I got to fight this one just on principle. And then the Lord would remind me, he's like, what's that going to do? Sure, you're going to feel better for about 5 minutes, but is it going to really fix anything? I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to feel so much better. Why, God? Lord has the right battles picked for you. So we end up wasting times fighting the ones that we think that we should fight when it, you know, it helps us feel better or more comfortable. But here's the thing. If that fight serves you, it's the wrong fight. Okay? How many of us are fighting fights right now that are more serving us than serving God? Probably all of us, right? Nah, you know, or at times we all probably have. You know, right now, some of us may have some of them. But you know what we need to do? We need to fight the fights with God's word, with prayer, with our love of Christ showing in everything we do. You know how hard it is when, you know, it's amazing. We just hired this, we had one pastor who was in our accounts payable position for 8 years. Actually, he started in that position, and we always knew he was going to be a pastor one day, and now he pastors one of our congregations, and it's big and vibrant. And I took 4 months to find a replacement because I said, you know what, I want to find the right person. I know that person's out there. I don't want to just hire anyone. If we have to suffer for a few months, we're going to do it. And we found this one lady, and, you know, it's amazing to hear her talk on the phone, because if somebody calls and goes, you know, is that check coming this week? She's so honoring to them, and she's so, like, she just speaks like God is speaking through her whenever she picks up the phone. There was times, like, 9, 10 years ago when SARS and 9/11 hit. Like, actually, 9/11 happening put our church through massive financial distress, like you wouldn't believe, because we've been a conference center. We used to have 2,000, 2,500 people at our conferences, and the infrastructure at the time to do that was so large staff-wise. When 9/11 hit and air travel just went, we had to lay off about 40 people. And that was hard because a lot of these people, they're just passionate for this place. But, you know, it's funny because then people would call and, you know, they're like, well, I just want to get paid. And they would actually on the phone be like, well, we don't have an answer for you. And the person that was answering the phone at the times didn't really know what to say. And so people would respond with actually like curses, you know, and that would go on a little bit. And then, you know, one day, it was funny, there was another ministry that called and they were like, you know, you bought some product from us, you know, when we can get a payment. And this was before my time, but I remember being related this story, and they said, you know, they're hoping to have the payment released in a few weeks. And the guy said, okay, you know, it's not the greatest answer, but he says, can we just pray? And we'd never had somebody else, when they call, you know, our accounting department looking for money, say, you know what, I understand, but can I pray with you, and can I pray for your ministry about this? You know, and for 10 minutes, this guy just prayed and prayed, and he just spoke the word of God over the finances, and, you know, wouldn't you know it? A couple days later, somebody gave us $100,000 worth of mutual funds, which basically covered the rest of the need for that time. It was like, it was unreal. And I listened to that, and I'm like, you know, if we can speak the word of God and just speak Christ-like in what we do every day, you know, people see that. People embody that. You know, when I go to the airport today, and it's funny, like, I learned so much from my wife, okay? I'm a guy, you know. Sometimes we don't always say what we mean, or the way it comes out isn't exactly, you know, what we intended, right? Or married husbands, yeah, we all can relate to that. We say something, and our wives are like, but this is what you said. And you're like, no, I didn't mean it that way. You know, I meant this. We can be in a grocery store, and, you know, I could just be cranky and miserable, and even the person at the till could be miserable. She's like, you know, you have a great day, and she's just so nice to them, and they're just like, you know, just amazed, like, when people are just speaking so nice to them. You know, if we can be Christ-like in everything we do, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the MTO and you stand in lines to renew your license, you know, that's going to stand out. It's going to help us shine. When you trust in God, you know, you may not have anything left. You may be looking for a job and not sure how you're going to make your next rent payment, but God sees that. You know, he knows what you need. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to surrender everything to him. He wants you to not pick the fights that are like the ones not to fight. He wants you to know that he's, you know, your provider. I don't want ministry today to be, you know, let's pray for each other. You know, I think there's times when, you know, when some people are having some hard times, you know, we get together and we pray into certain things. But I really feel like today, and even my wife was sensing this last night too, I feel like today is, you know, a day for reflection within ourselves. You know, 9/11 in a way is its own somber way. We all remember where we were this time 10 years ago. Right? I bet you if I asked almost every one of you, you'd probably remember where you were. Right? Quick show of hands. Who doesn't remember where they were this time 10 years ago? See, everybody knows where they were. You know, it's so etched in our minds. I really feel like the Lord wants to have some time with you. Just with you. We know where you can share with him and just say, you know, God, privately, here's where I haven't trusted in you. You know, if you need to repent and say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, just do it. You know, you may not feel like you need to, but you know, he may just speak to you and tell you areas of your life where he wants you to shine more and show people how you trust in him. You know, I see, if you don't mind me doing this, a few examples of this. I see Jay, Pastor Jay, who, you know, he goes and he works tirelessly. for his family. And Vero stays with the kids, but also works at home. And he goes and he works the night shift because that's the jobs that the Lord's putting in front of him. You know, and his, can I share the story you shared with me this morning about the ministry? Is that okay? He's been having all these inroads, okay, where guys, he's had chances to minister to people, and this is in a warehouse environment. So anybody who's worked in a warehouse knows that, you know, it's not exactly the most clean-cut kind of environment. Always, you know, people have different beliefs, different opinions. Some people might swear more, you know, just very different. And, you know, Jay, I just hear the stories over and over again about how, like, all these people are drawn to him because he's just embodying Jesus and, you know, how he operates and what he does. You know, he's showing integrity. You know, no, I'm not going to lie about that. No, I'm not going to push things. You know, safety is an issue. We don't want people to get hurt. You know, Jesus loves you. And next thing you know, all these guys are driving home with him. They're wanting to hear more and more about the Lord. And I don't think any of them were saved yet, were they? No? Yeah. And guys are almost there. And next thing you know, what's happened? The company gives overtime, but when they give overtime, you have to take it. And they've gone and changed the schedule. You know, and that could be hard, you know. And you're going, what, God, why are you doing this? What's going on here? I'm almost at that point where these guys are going to get saved. And now you're taking me away from that. Well, you know what? God has a plan for those guys. Who knows? You know, maybe it's a couple days for them to be thinking on their own and just really reflecting in themselves. Maybe the Lord's going to bring somebody else in their path. Maybe he's going to give them overtime and put them back with Jay. You know, but that's not Jay's battle to fight. And he knows that. And I know he's given it up to the Lord. And he's just like trusting in God that those things, those breakthroughs are going to happen. And it's the same thing for all of you guys. You know, just trust in him. Just trust in him. We're in a space where, you know, we need to sell our house really quickly. We took a step of faith. I've honestly, from the start here, believed that God's hand is on this entire move. That, you know, usually my wife knows when she talks to me and says, well, what do you think about this? She's waiting for me to say really how I feel. And usually I'm like, I hum and I haw, right? Most of the time. In this case, I was like, no, we're supposed to go. 3 days later, we were on a plane looking for houses. We're looking at the houses, and like, what do we do? I'm like, we put in an offer. We sign the checks, you know, and we've taken all the conditions off. Like, the house is ours. I just need to sell ours. We've had 15 people come through our house, and it's like, it's trying. Every day you're going, okay, come on. You know, come on, God, you're going to come through. And now tonight I'm getting on a plane and going away for 2 weeks. It's kind of scary, right? But you know what? I don't feel stressed about it. I probably feel more stressed knowing that, like, there's a lot of loose ends, but I know God's got a buyer for us. I have to constantly remind myself every day, you know, and people around me remind me, like, you know, God's got a plan. Why would he tell us to go and do something if he wasn't going to take care of us? You know, I don't even log into my bank account anymore. Well, actually, I do once every couple weeks, but, like, we used to always log into our bank every day when I changed jobs. And I'd be like, you know, why am I doing this? We know what's going in and out. We know that God's taking care of it. You know, I don't need to look at this. He's got it under control. Gwen takes care of that piece. She watches it. It's in good hands. God's got us covered. I don't need to look at it. From time to time, she'll be like, oh, you know, the credit card's up to this. I'm like, yeah, well, we charge our credit card every month, get the points, and, you know, we pay it off. Great. We're fine. You know, sometimes on the inside, you're like, God, are you going to do this? But, you know, it's a huge step of faith to do that stuff. So I want to encourage you guys today. What we're going to do, you know, if you want, we're going to get the worship team, if you can come up, just want to play a song or two. But while they're doing that, if you feel, you know, like the Lord's really, really, you know, not even the Lord, if you feel like you haven't been trusting in the Lord enough, I want you to just, you know, either just stand up and come to the front, but just spend some time with the Lord yourself, or do it in your chair. You know, if you need to leave, that's okay, you're released, but I really feel like the Lord's got something to share with you personally, and he wants to hear from you. So let's just take this time, and, you know, we'll pray about this a little bit and let God do what he needs to do. But I really feel like the Lord's called this church in particular. This church is very special. You know, we came here with some other couples, and it was many babies being birthed here. Why are there so many people coming to this church? You know, it's not about quantity, but it's about quality. Prayer is getting stronger. Worship, you know, the worship team. There's so much. This church, if you guys don't know where this church came from with worship teams, and we looked at all our other 10 campuses, we have some of the strongest worship teams in this whole ministry, because all the people that play here, even the ones who could barely play when they started, just said, Lord, use me. Look at Mike. He's just like, yeah, yeah. And it's so true. Mike is amazing. Gwen, you know, this... Okay. Richard. I remember the first time Richard came and he wasn't even plugged in. He was just, you know, kind of playing and he was kind of sitting back and like...
Tentative.
I just watched him, very tentative. And over 2 years, the Lord's just being like, no, I'm going to use you in music. When Jay Major did his play back at last Christmas, I'm just watching everybody on that stage and I'm going, these are people I did not see like this ever before. Like, what is going on? And God's like, these people are just letting up and letting me take control. You know, they're just doing for me and they're just going for it. I'm like, that's awesome, God. So, you know, let's just pray. Lord, we just ask you just to be with us today. I thank you for the word that you've given and for what I've shared. And I pray that, you know, if there's anything that was shared today that just was not of you, that it just fall off. But I really pray that it speaks to people here today, because now more than ever, Lord, we need you in our lives. We need you to be here for us. We need to learn to trust in you more, God. And I'm gonna just repent right now for myself and say, God, those times where I didn't trust you in the past, you know, when I ran my businesses years ago and I trusted in myself rather than you, I am so sorry, God. And I've apologized before, but I'll do it again. And I know that I just need to trust in you more, God. And on behalf of the congregation, in ways where we haven't trusted in you, you know, we've just trusted in what we're doing, you know, going out and how we do things, I apologize and I repent, God. I say thank you, God, for just showing us how we can trust in you more. I ask you just to keep showing and revealing to us areas where we can be more Christ-like and just show people how much you love us and embody that love for the world. You know, our church has that slogan, love our city, for this year. We want to go out and love our city in any way possible. We keep going out and doing the outreaches to the sex trade workers, because, you know, no person should be unsaved. Every person is loved, God. And so whatever it takes, God, for us to just keep trusting in you more, we just say, God, just show us, reveal it to us. And so, God, I ask you to bless this congregation. I ask you to be with them over the coming weeks and months and years. You know, this congregation is ready to explode. We've been saying that for a long time. There's just been this air of receiving here. But now's the time for this congregation to just go to that next step. And so, Lord, I just say, you do it. Do whatever you have planned in this place, God. There are people here that are called out of their current jobs into new ones because you have divine appointments for people to get saved. There are people who are working in money industries like Tom. Tom's not in his job just to do his job. He's there to reach out to people, to share the gospel. The teachers, I have a particular blessing for the teachers. I just pray, God, you just protect them in the schools. You protect what they're trying to do and how they're trying to embody you, as tough as it can be when they don't feel like they're being supported. God, we know that you're there to support them. You're always there with them. And I pray that we just take back those schools. We ask for more people that are passionate to teach, not just in the schools, but in the church. We pray for the cell leaders that are here now and the cell leaders that we don't even know who's going to be leading some of the future cells. Say, God, just keep showing yourself in them. Help them to learn to trust you more. There's no dryness in what message they're going to have this week. And there's always going to be something new. I pray for supernatural miracles here in this congregation. Those of you, those who are really in need of finances, you know, or you need a job, God, I pray that you just miraculously provide. You just show them. You know, there is no 40 years of famine in this congregation. You know, we're just trusting in the Lord. We're believing that he is our provider. He is going to do good things. So, Lord, I just pray you just have your way with us right now. You just speak to us. Just reveal to us areas of our lives where we need to just give more up to you. God, I give up all control. I can't do it myself, God. It's all you. Help me to be a stronger husband, a stronger CFO and a father and all those things you've called me to be. And take me to those new places. God, I'm trusting in you now for the unknown. I will not be afraid of the unknown. There is no darkness, God, not when I have you in my life. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for the people you've brought here. I pray abundant blessings on this congregation, the pastors. If you guys can just point your hands towards Jay, just for me right now. If you can just, we just pray for the pastors of this church. We just ask you to cover them and just help them just to keep embodying Christ in everything that they do. They're models for you, for this congregation. I ask for an abundant blessing, an abundant blessing on Jay and Veronique, in Jesus' name. Amen. So while we're just here, just spend some time with the Lord. And, you know, if you feel like there's anything you want somebody to pray for you for, that's okay too. But I really feel like this is a special time for just you and the Lord. Amen.
I just want to read something over to you guys. Proverbs 3:5 says, oh dear, I just lost it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I feel like that applies to a lot of people here today. There are people looking for jobs. There are people having trouble with their finances. There are people having trouble with their families. And even though we don't understand God's ways, we understand our ways, and I believe, find it hard sometimes to get our mind off of that and get our mind off of what we understand in the world instead of focusing on God to be something that we might not understand. Whoa. So I just encourage you this morning to take a leap of faith and just say, God, I choose to trust in you. I'm going to put everything else aside, my own understanding aside, and don't doubt. Don't doubt what God has given you, what God has shown you already. Just because it hasn't happened, don't doubt it. We break off doubt in the name of Jesus. Because it'll happen. If God says it's going to happen, it'll happen. It may not be in our time, but it'll happen. So just focus on that this morning and say, God, I give up, you know, what I understand to be happening right now in the world. I give that up to you, God. I give it up at the cross, and I just choose to take on your ways. I choose to believe what I don't understand, what I can't see, and I choose to trust in you for our ways. And we need to do that too. Mike and I are going through a really hard time right now. So, but like he said, like we don't, there's not a time that we're not getting tested in some way or trial in some way. And it's a good thing because it means that we are always growing. It means that we're always changing. It means that we're always getting closer to him. So don't think as a trial as a bad thing. Think of it as a time to endure and be stronger. So let's just focus on that this morning. Proverbs 3:5. And if you need to come up to the front and just give it to him physically, the altar's open. Don't be scared. People aren't going to look at you weird. It's just time between you and God. Just to have time between you and him this morning. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall